Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, a little cooler today, a couple of degrees, but who knows? Yeah.
We're expressing 105 or 106
as cooler.
As cooler.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
You saw what it got up to in Phoenix yesterday.
Well, yeah. Tim Steller's here from the Arizona Daily Star, and Tim had to drive up to Phoenix yesterday. Tim, what did your car thermometer hit?
122 degrees.
Well, mine hit 120 at Alvernon and Grant day before yesterday. Little hot pocket there. Also, I want to point out today's National Purple Heart Day, a day to honor and remember those who have been wounded or killed while serving in the U.S. military. All right, the Buckmaster Show is in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're part of the Bustos Media Center here. We've got five radio stations at this one location, and one of them celebrating their sixth anniversary this week. The Drive, 101.7, and those new ratings show The Drive, very popular radio station here in town. But this radio station, we're doing well. We're 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We complete our 15th year on the radio project in January and push nearly going towards four decades myself of participation in Tucson media. Worldwide live listening during the noon hour at buckmastershow.com, and we're very proud of the fact that we've got pretty much every show we've done since January 2011 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Some media partners, we want to say thank you very much to Dylan Smith and Jim Ninsel and the team at TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shears Group, and Caitlin Schmidt doing very good things over at Tucson Spotlight. On Friday, we bring in a media person to help me in the interview, kind of a co-media host. Tim Steller is here, award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Bill?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. And Tim will be picking up after our Friday Focus interview with you. Lots to talk about, I know, this week with what's been going on with Project Blue. But let's welcome now on the live line Chris Mays, the Arizona Attorney General. And we very much appreciate Chris giving us some time today. Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys. I am doing really well. Thanks for asking, and it's great to be with you. Appreciate it.
How are you surviving this heat?
Well, you're... it's really hot up here, guys. I think I need to come down there to get out of it, but you're saying it's still hot down there.
Not much of an escape, no.
Yeah, it's not much of an escape. All right, let's let's get right at it. We got a ton of stuff to cover. I got a stack of stuff a mile high here for Chris, and we have a limited amount of time. 25 multi-state lawsuits that you've brought Arizona into. Has it been worthwhile, Chris Mays?
It's definitely always worthwhile to save money for Arizonans and preserve the funding that our state has coming to us, and to stand up for our Constitution, you know, and the rule of law. You know, the President of the United States and his administration have violated the rule of law and the Constitution and harmed Arizona on at least 25 occasions. And, you know, the lawsuits, we did the math on the lawsuits and determined that our lawsuits have now saved Arizona $1.5 billion. And all of that, we would have lost all of that money. It would have been stripped away from us illegally and unconstitutionally by Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Doge if we had not filed those lawsuits. And, I had my 12-year-old daughter do the math on that long division, and she determined and I checked her math, that's about $50 million per lawsuit. So I would say that's a long way of saying you bet it was worth it, and I'll keep doing it to protect Arizona if I have to.
Anything more in the pipeline? I know this one really isn't part of that, but this thing about robocalls, it looks like all of the attorney generals in this state in this country, Chris Mays, are on board with that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That was a letter that we sent to, I think maybe 30 to 40 different companies, putting them on notice that they need to stop violating the law and illegally calling people. So that, that would be one of the rare, very, very bipartisan, every AG joining onto that lawsuit. Yes.
All right, Tim Steller. Go ahead, Tim.
You got your fingers in all kinds of things, but I did want to ask you about the biggest money one. According to your office's press release, there was $1 billion, quote unquote, saved or safeguarded in what the lawsuit that is labeled New York et al. Versus Trump. Can you explain? I mean, that seems to be where the real money lay in your lawsuits versus the administration. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, Tim. So that basically is the OMB lawsuit. That was the federal funding freeze, one of the very first lawsuits that we filed, where the Trump administration was attempting, or did actually, for a couple of days, freeze, a ton of federal funding that had already been approved by Congress. That would have been for everything from Meals on Wheels to Head Start funding to, believe it or not, funding for what's called HIDA, the High Impact Drug Trafficking Areas, which is the way that we partner with the federal government. When I say we, I mean the Attorney General's office. We partner to go after the Mexican drug cartels and seize fentanyl. They defunded all of that. So literally, Donald Trump defunded the police. He has on multiple occasions, in multiple ways, tried to defund the police. It's really kind of bonkers when you think about it. But yes, that lawsuit is a big chunk of the $1.5 billion that we have saved for the state of Arizona. And, what's getting really interesting about these lawsuits is that, it's becoming more and more clear that whether you have an attorney general who's willing to go to bat for you against this unconstitutional regime really matters. So in other words, in a lot of these lawsuits, as you know, the Republican AGs in various states are not suing the Trump administration. And so they're losing all this money. They're losing the money. We are saving it for our state. And, that's going to become increasingly clear as time goes on.
I know you've been following Project Blue, which the city council here said no to unanimously, Chris Mays, this week. And the big argument, of course, we just don't have the water. We don't have the power needs to supply such a massive kind of IT farm or AI farm here in the city of Tucson. As a former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, I know you're very much watching some of these, many would say, just exorbitant rate increases from Arizona Public Service. And down here, people are saying, what about TEP? Is Chris Mays going to go after TEP? What do you say to that, Chris?
Yeah, and I did watch that decision with great interest, and I think it's a kind of a harbinger of things to come, you guys. I mean, this is interesting because the utilities are, quite frankly, they're kind of having their way at the Arizona Corporation Commission. I've gotten very active in front of the Corporation Commission fighting the utilities when they ask for these rate increases. And we are definitely looking at TEP's latest proposal. One of the things that is driving the utilities to ask for these rate increases, it's not the entire story, but is these data centers. Mm. And data centers use an enormous amount of power and an enormous amount of water. And I think that we need to come to grips as a state of, over this issue and determine whether we want to be the data center farm for the rest of the country, because that's kind of where this seems to be heading. And I think the city of Tucson stood up and said, no, we don't really want this. And until we find a way to find the water and to find the energy at a lower cost that won't burden everyday ratepayers and everyday homeowners, I don't think it's in the public interest for us to become the data center, you know, farm for the whole country. I mean, I get why the data centers want to be here. They want to be here because we don't have earthquakes and we don't have, you know, a lot of natural disasters, and we have cheap power for now, or cheap, not, well, we don't really have cheap power, but we have
cheaper,
you know, cheaper maybe and very reliable power, and utilities that are apparently willing to go in for enormous rate increases to enable these data centers. And I just don't think that that's really what we want to build our state on. I've said this in the past. I think data centers are the cotton candy of economic development. You know, you get a sugar high, but you don't really get a lot of jobs. And then we end up with these sort of rate increases and water crises on the back end.
You mentioned, by the way, I want to throw one more thing in to the reasons that they're coming here, that they have a tax, sales tax exemption that the state passed, I think first in 2010 or 12, and it goes until 2033, I believe, as it stands, unless the state revokes it. But that brings to mind, I mean, there's all these bodies, the legislature, the Corporation Commission, the various state entities, your office at the Attorney General's office. Like, who would be the people or the entity to figure out how we're going to regulate or accept data centers, under what terms we would accept data centers as a state? Like, is there, what would be the right way to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Tim, that is such a great question. And I think that what we need to do, this is a great question, and I think ultimately it's probably the legislature and the governor. There are things that I can do as the Attorney General to hold the line against rate increases that are associated with data centers. The commission, the Corporation Commission, could establish a policy, for instance, that says, okay, data centers, if you want to come into TEP service territory, you have to pay for yourself. And we're not going to defray the cost of building the next natural gas power plant because you came into the TEP service territory. That's the other thing, you guys, that I think is not being spoken about here, which is these utilities, frankly, not just TEP, but APS and SRP as well, they are using this enormous influx of proposed data centers, and we're talking about thousands of megawatts of power, new demand, to build new natural gas plants.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to cost Arizona consumers a lot of money, and it's going to be not the data centers, but it's going to be homeowners who are, and businesses that are asked to pay for that. And then the utilities have already announced, and I believe TEP is one of them, they have already announced that they are going to be off-takers of a new natural gas pipeline built by Transwestern. Mm. And I think that's out there. But anyway, I've certainly something I've been hearing about. And then you have to start to think about the climate impacts of that, the environmental impacts of building all of these new natural gas plants. God knows where they're planning on putting them. We don't really know that yet. And then building a new natural gas pipeline up into Arizona, probably out of Texas.
Hmm. So you've intervened in a rate case. Is it a rate case that you've intervened in, the APS case, objecting to their 14% rate hike request?
We haven't done, not yet, but we're going to, Tim.
You're planning on. Okay.
And we are going to object to it.
So what's the balance of power there? Because it's unusual to my knowledge that an attorney general would get involved in a rate case. We have RUCO, of course, that is supposed to be there to protect residential users' rights, and we have, of course, the Corporation Commission members themselves who are supposed to, you know, have a diversity of perspectives, or at least theoretically.
Yes, at least theoretically.
Yeah. Is this a new idea to use AG's office to get involved in utility cases and rates?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is it's not unprecedented, but it hasn't happened in a long, long time. And the last AG to be active in front of the Corporation Commission was Grant Woods. He did intervene on several cases before the commission. And I think it's just time. You know, I am not happy with the job that RUCO is doing. I don't think they've been assertive enough. I'm definitely not happy with the job that the Corporation Commission is doing, pushing back on these multiple rate increase requests from utilities. APS, I don't know if TEP's done it yet, but APS has asked for what's called formula rates, which would be automatic yearly or every 2 years rate increases.
Mm-hmm.
No pushback in sight from the Corporation Commission on that issue. And then there's, the fact that the utilities were successful in getting grid access charges slapped on solar users and people with solar on their homes, which also discourages people from going solar. I mean, it was totally unnecessary. I thought it was unlawful, and it's something we intervened to oppose as well. So, look, you guys know I have always felt like it's my job to protect the consumers of this state, and a big subset of that category is utility consumers, ratepayers, people who pay bills, utility bills. And, you know, if the commission isn't doing its job, then I think any attorney general worth her or his salt would be intervening down there to make this case.
All right, Chris Mays, stick around. We've got another segment with you. Chris, we'll try to get you on your way at 12:35, but we're going to take a break right here, back with Tim Steller, Bill Buckmaster, and the Attorney General for Arizona, Chris Mays, right after this.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is going to be really busy in the upcoming week. All the people have lost plants, myself included, that just really didn't survive when it hits one up in the foothills yesterday, 114.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Tim Steller's here, the award-winning columnist from the Arizona Daily Star. Our Friday Focus interview, Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General, who in 2022 won the role as AG by less than 300 votes, maybe the closest election in state history. The Prescott native is a former reporter for the Phoenix Gazette and the Arizona Republic. When I was at AP in 1973, working in the old Republic headquarters there, and the Gazette was still around too, there was a guy by the name of, remember Mike McCloy? Did you ever know Mike?
Oh, yeah. I worked with Mike, yeah.
I love that guy.
Oh, sorry. Were you talking to Tim?
Not me, no. I was talking to you, Chris.
Yeah, Mike McCloy and I.
I guess we both worked up.
Yeah. So I was working with Mike at AP, and Don Bowles was there too at that time at the Republic. Anyway, let's turn it over to Tim Steller.
I've got an email here that I want to quote from. It's not a recent one. It's from a month or two ago. It says, "My new op-ed is out in the Phoenix Business Journal. It's about Chris Mays and her frivolous lawsuits trying to stop the Trump administration from cutting spending. She's abusing the powers of her office, and it has to stop." It goes on. Who wrote this email, Chris Mays?
who wrote that? Yeah. I don't know who wrote the email.
Okay.
I can tell you it's totally wrong.
I'll tell you who it is. It's Rodney Glassman.
Okay.
And so that brings me around to a question about the coming election. You got two people, I think, as far as I know, it's just two duking it out for the Republican nomination, Rodney Glassman and Warren Peterson, right?
Yeah.
Not that you would pay attention to such things. But seriously, I mean, this, you have taken, you know, strong stands on against the Trump administration. As Bill just referenced, you barely won the last election. I mean, what do you think? How is this going to play once either Glassman or Peterson becomes your challenger? Man, you know, it could be pretty tight, couldn't it? And they will attack you on this particular initiative of yours.
Yeah, sure. If they were attorney general, they would have been just fine with Arizona losing $1.5 billion. Apparently, they would be fine with our law enforcement officers being defunded and for HIDTA and the way that we go after the Mexican drug cartels being defunded. Apparently, they would be okay with defunding Head Start and Meals on Wheels. So I guess that's the kind of AG they would be. But I believe Arizonans don't want that. And I think if you look at recent polling, not that I spend all my time looking at polling, but the polling is pretty clear that the independents in Arizona and moderate Republicans are completely aghast and repelled by what Donald Trump is doing, and support my litigation.
It's not just a good thing to do, but it's also politically beneficial, you think?
I think that supporting and protecting the American Constitution and the rule of law and protecting funding that was already approved by Congress for Arizonans is going to be not only the right thing to do, but also politically popular. And, you know, the other thing that has been politically popular, and I know from the hundreds and hundreds of phone calls that we've gotten, frankly, asking me, demanding that I do something to stop Elon Musk and Donald Trump from hoovering up all of their private data, Arizonans' private data inside the IRS, inside the Treasury Department, inside, and now they're going after Medicaid data. I believe they are creating a giant database of Americans' private information, probably fueled by a company like Palantir. And Arizonans do not like that. You guys know we have a libertarian bent in Arizona.
Sure.
And they do not accept the idea that we would allow a guy like Elon Musk and his band of boys in Doge to go hoover up and vacuum up people's private data and do God knows what with it. We don't know what they're doing with that data, you guys. And so I feel good about running for re-election. I'm gonna run for re-election. And all I can do is do my job, and then we'll let the voters of Arizona cast the ultimate verdict on the job that I've done in November of 2026.
All right, Chris May's got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Let's talk about water and the Wild West, unregulated in many areas of this state. Who gets water? How much is used? And on it goes. Your office has been very proactive. Overall view, give us an update.
Yeah, so we have been using nuisance law to go after this issue and to try to protect Arizonans. We sued the Saudi-owned corporation Fondamonte over in La Paz County for using so much water and dewatering the aquifer called the Renegros Plain. That they were dewatering the wells of nearby neighbors. That is classic nuisance law. And so we sued them, and we're obviously not happy with what's going on in Cochise County and the Riverview Dairy. We had a town hall down there where we had, I think, more than 200 people turn out and talk about the negative impacts of that dairy is having and the withdrawals of water that they've engaged in that has caused the opening up of fissures. So we'll continue to do that. Whenever somebody is harmed, we will use nuisance law to protect Arizonans. And I recognize that that hasn't been done in this particular space in the past, but the law is on the books, and I'm going to use it to protect Arizonans.
The legislature really hasn't done much about rural water, has it?
No, and that they really have been derelict in that regard. They've done almost nothing, Bill, to protect our rural groundwater supplies. It really upsets me, frankly. And you guys know I was born and raised in rural Arizona. I think that it's really easy for these legislators it's far too easy, and I don't know why, but to ignore rural Arizona. And it's time that they pay attention. I think we're a couple of legislators away from getting something significant done. But year after year, session after session, they come up here to Phoenix to the legislature and they failed to pass common sense groundwater legislation to update the 1980 Groundwater Act. We desperately need it. I mean, just let's circle back to the first part of our conversation in Project Blue and data centers and the water that those data centers use. We cannot afford to do stupid things with water anymore in the state of Arizona.
All right, Chris Mays, final thoughts. Give us your final thoughts in 30 seconds.
Well, a lot, as you guys noted at the top, there's a lot going on in the state of Arizona. And, you know, we're a growing state. It's exciting to be an Arizonan, but it's also a time where a lot of people are anxious. We didn't talk too much about the tariff situation.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, I'm fighting the tariffs. I have a lawsuit. I co-led a lawsuit along with the AG of Oregon and a number of other AGs. We successfully won in the Court of International Trade. And then we had a really great oral argument in the appeals court. That one's headed to the Supreme Court. And I've got a town hall coming up, a roundtable on the tariffs down in Nogales on Tuesday. So I'll be in Nogales on Tuesday if anybody wants to join me. But we're going to keep protecting Arizonans from the Attorney General's office. That's my job. That is what I got elected to do, albeit by 280 votes. But a win is a win, and I'm going to keep fighting for Arizonans.
All right, Chris Mays, thanks, and good chatting with you and catching up with you, Chris.
Thank you, guys. It's good to talk to you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon. Tim Steller and myself talking about Project Blue and some more after we take a break, and then it's segment 3 on the Buckmaster Friday edition.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. All the green things at Green Things are saying, what happened to the summer rainy season? Tim Steller's here from the Arizona Daily Star. This is a very peculiar, in my 37 and a half years in town, I can't recall anything like this. Monsoon.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's a bad summer to be a green thing. It's hard to stay green. I had some mint that has been doing really well in hanging pots all the way up until the last few days, and all of a sudden it's starting to get brown, watered every day.
Just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Chris Mays came out, and maybe a little surprisingly so, very forcefully against against these data centers in Arizona, and there's 140 of them already up in the Phoenix area. There are, I don't know how many are here in southern Arizona.
Around 10, as I understand.
Okay, and then the one Project Blue, of course, now looking like Marana might be home to the Project Blue project. But anyway, I was surprised to hear her so forcefully say, Arizona, this is not good for Arizona, these type of operations.
Yeah, I mean, she called it the cotton candy of economic development, gives you a sugar high, and then you're left with the bills. Yeah. I mean, you could also call it, the cocaine of economic. Anyway, I think she alluded to something that we all are kind of feeling our way towards, which is that it doesn't work to have all this controlled by a bunch of little jurisdictions, you know, since the resources that these data centers demand are shared resources across jurisdictional lines. It really is important that, like, the Arizona Department of Water Resources, for example, or the Arizona Corporation Commission. I know the ACC has a rulemaking process going on about data centers. I don't know if rulemaking is the right phrase, but they've opened a docket about data centers. And so they are exploring how to handle this issue. But the thing is, and I've written about this, by the way, I want to put a little pitch in for good old Tim. I was writing about data centers and the Corporation Commission back in October and warning people this was coming. And
kudos.
Yeah, thank you. And back then, TEP was already hinting that a big thing was coming, and this was obviously part of it. But anyway, the point is, there is so much money in data centers and associated infrastructure, at least $400 million just from the big handful of companies like Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft. And then you throw in, like, this is an investment firm, Blue Owl, that was behind Beale, that is behind Beale Infrastructure, which is behind Project Blue. Blue Owl has had several rounds of investment fundraising. One that I discovered closed in May was $7 billion. But that was just one of several rounds. I mean, there's too much money for some of these not to get built. The question is, under what terms?
So Tucson has a history of saying no to some very high-profile projects going back to, I believe, Motorola in 1970, 1986, IBM. You're going to probably contest that here in a moment. And now this will probably join the list of kind of what economic developers had hoped for as a grand slam, Tim Steller.
Yeah, I mean, we have a bit of a reputation for rejecting opportunities. And, you know, someone was saying to me the other day, you know, if something like Raytheon or Hughes Missile showed up asking to be part of Tucson today, we would send them packing right away.
Back in 1952 when Howard Hughes came to town, right?
Of course, the truth is we don't know what would have happened in 1952 because that was very, if it had been done openly, because it was done very secretively. But yeah, I mean, we do have a reputation, an earned reputation, for questioning or rejecting economic development possibilities. You didn't mention Grand Canyon University, which is very contested.
That could be added to the list.
Yeah, but several of these are contestable. I mean, you mentioned that I contest the IBM thing. You know, the tale that people tell about how Tucson rejected IBM is just completely false, in part because it relies on the idea that the city of Tucson tried to impose a tax of some sort that would have hurt IBM. I went back and investigated this 10 years ago, and there's no truth to it. The IBM plant wasn't even in the city of Tucson at the time. And really what happened at that time was IBM was in a global restructuring that Tucson just happened to get caught up in, which is why IBM is smaller than it was at the time. Mm-hmm. It still exists here. It still operates. It's just not as big. There are other counterexamples too. Like, for example, one that people like to talk about a lot is SlimFast. Mm-hmm. I happened to have been on the business desk at the Star when that was kind of falling apart. And it's interesting, though. It fell apart because they could never make the technology, I believe it was a sterilizer, that they could never make work quite correctly at the time. And then SlimFast's business model fell apart because it was these drinks these diet drinks that no longer were popular. Mm-hmm. Well, that was sold. The plant was sold. La Costeña beans started getting packed there. And then that was changed to Arizona Canning Company, and now it's part of Faribault Foods, which is based in Faribault, Minnesota. Mm. I called the other day. There's 206 employees there. Mm. So, I don't know.
So, the obvious question, Tim Stellar, is what is a compatible business?
Yes.
This is the ultimate question.
Right.
What if Tucson is not welcoming to data centers, and as you heard Chris May said, we shouldn't be welcoming them anywhere in Arizona because of the high water use and the high power use. So what is a big economic development? What would be a big win that would be acceptable?
Okay, I'll give you an
example. Give me one.
Yeah, 2 years ago, they broke ground on the American Battery Factory.
The battery.
Plant. Yeah, and there was some discussion of the water use and the potential for pollution related to batteries, but that project, although delayed, is still moving forward. And. And it passed all the relevant regulatory bodies here in Tucson. So, there was questioning, but it happened.
Tom put up on the screen. Did you see that?
Cotton and cattle.
Cotton
yeah.
and cattle yeah. would be acceptable.
Yeah. That's right. But not citrus anymore.
No.
Climate is going away.
Yes, climate's going. The five Arizona seas.
Copper is also questionable.
Yeah.
The problem is a lot of these things were incentivized under the Inflation Reduction Act, like the American Battery Factory and other clean energy related industries. And a lot of that's going away because of the One Big Beautiful Bill provisions.
Mm-hmm. Should this, and you write a little bit about some of these questions now in the wake of Project Blue, should this thing have even gone as far as it did?
Well, from my perspective, it kind of got screwed up in the procedural way, because if at their very first consideration they were going to vote
the Board of Supervisors.
I'm thinking of the city at this stage.
Oh, okay.
So there's a good point there, which is that the Board of Supervisors did vote 3-2 to sell this property, and I, in my opinion, did not take a good enough analysis of the project and all its repercussions. I think they've kind of felt, the city will back us up. They'll figure it out. Because the city had to annex the land in order for the plan to go forward. My point is, if they were going to vote 7-0 to reject this plan, then why did this go so far forward in the first place?
And a lot of work was put in.
A lot of work.
To Tim, Tom, your kudos at least for putting together, and that was a tremendous amount of work by the city manager. And some of these were put together kind of at the last minute. Tim was probably working 24/7 to put those three.
Oh, those events.
Three events. That was not easy.
Right.
And
so
especially in a very hostile environment that the folks encountered in the first public
meeting. So I personally was in agreement with rejecting this thing because of all the problems with data centers. But the idea that we put these people who wanted to do a $1 billion investment in town through three hostile public meetings. Here, I'm kind of two of the public meetings plus the city council meeting is what I'm talking about, only to reject them 7-0. It's just like, wait, what's the point? Why did we go through all this if we're gonna? So I think there were some issues with the process and some mixed signals at best that gave the city staff and maybe county staff the impression mm-hmm. that the electeds
wanted to move forward,
were at least interested in it.
Interested.
There's got to have been. That's what I suggest in today's political notebook. I can't imagine they went forward without having at least a tacit support from some of the elected officials.
Yeah, so, well, it'd be interesting to see now if Murano wants to bite on this.
Yeah.
And before we get to that, your third point in your political notebook today, what will the ramifications on the Board of Supervisors be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as the sole Republican, it was expected that Steve Christie would say yes, although, you know, not completely for sure. It was a little surprising how gung-ho Rex Scott was as a Democratic chairman of the Board of Supervisors. And finally, you know, Matt Hines's vote in favor was also surprising. And I don't know, bears understanding, I think, still to this day.
So the whole idea of having data centers, and as you point out, there are some small ones already here in town, but if there had been an effort to bring maybe a group of very small ones through, this probably wouldn't have gotten any attention.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
It is.
I mean, there are others in the works
yes.
around town, and it's just that there's this thing called hyperscaling, which is what a lot of the artificial intelligence firms say they need, claim they need for their large language models, which is what they are using to build up the capacity of artificial intelligence. And so it's just this massive power use and water use, especially use of power, honestly. That's the biggest challenge. And yeah, it naturally draws objections or fears of, you know, that the idea that our power rates are going to go up because somehow we got to build capacity mm-hmm. for them and mm-hmm. someone's got to pay for that. So, you know, something that didn't do so much would probably have met with less objection.
And the other, I think, newsworthy item that came out of our interview with the Attorney General today, other than the item that she talked about so against the data centers, is how she is now intervening in rate cases
yeah.
against Arizona Public Service, and it looks like TEP is next.
Right, she's in analyzing TEP's
yes.
Recent 14% rate increase request, and I think an interesting point she made. You know, she obviously is the former member and chair, I believe, of the Arizona Corporation Commission, so she knows all about this stuff, and she made the point that RUCO, the residential, I can't remember what that stands for, but it's the office, residential utility consumer office.
Supposed to be a watchdog agency.
Yeah, supposed to be a watchdog on behalf of the residents and the everyday users at the Arizona Corporation Commission. And she just made the point that it is not doing enough. And so I think that's another reason why she is stepping in to kind of advocate more.
And thanks to the listener who just sent me the map of the existing data centers here in the Tucson Valley. And it looks like, let's see, 8 of them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Project Blue would have been number 9. But
yeah,
of course it was a
9
huge,
through 19, I believe.
Yeah, 9 through 19.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tim Steller, thanks very much. What should we look for in the Sunday paper?
Well, I'm looking into this interesting case, and tragic also, I shouldn't just call it interesting, of a man who was...
The Good Samaritan case?
No, not the Good Samaritan case. A man who was carjacked and killed in the Tucson allegedly by a man who was in the country illegally.
Oh, okay.
And the conflict between the federal government and the state.
And the feds took him out of the jail in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah. It's a fascinating and, as I said, tragic case.
All right, coming up, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Tim, thank you very much, and I'm going to be gone, hopefully get away on vacation the last week of August. You're going to be hosting the last Thursday of the month, and hopefully you'll talk a little bit about maybe – how do you garden when it's 114?
That would be fun. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get back to one guest I had before.
That was terrific. Yeah. I remember that. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Back.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch is next.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
All right, time for Weekend Watch. What a great time of year to go to Silver City, which is our presenting sponsor of Weekend Watch. And, of course, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Leslie Lois is with us. Leslie, it's going to be like over in Silver City, 83, one of the highs next week. I know, low around 60. Right now it's lower 90s. I mean, it's because it's the elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet, it's cooler.
Oh,
so
nice.
So there you go. Start your planning now for your approximate three-hour drive to Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org. Leslie, what's going on this weekend?
Well, this is pretty exciting. The Tucson Saguaro baseball team is in the championships. Mm. Yeah, so they are playing tomorrow and Sunday at 7 o'clock, and if needed, will play on Monday night at 7 o'clock, all at Keno Stadium, and they could win the championship for the third time. I don't know if it's in a row, but this would be the third time if they do win.
Very good.
So Go guys.
Yeah.
And also, we got some really great food trucks around Tucson, right? And if you're up for it, tonight it's Summer Fridays at the Lodge in the Desert with a food truck roundup going on. It's happening from 5 to 8 tonight at Lodge in the Desert. It's free to attend, but of course you want to bring lots of money to try all the different food. And there's also actually a food truck roll-up happening at Casino del Sol at the Ava Amphitheater tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's going to have 20-plus food trucks.
No one will go away hungry.
Exactly. And something else, too, that I've heard really great things about, the Saguaro Sunset Night Market at Old Tucson Studios. That is going on again tomorrow from 6 to 9:30. They're doing it again on the 23rd. They have a lot of different local vendors there. There's live music, food vendors, and parking and entry are free. So, and I've heard it's drawn quite the number of crowd or people. So definitely want to check that out. Of course, you've got summer safari nights going on through the end of August and cool summer nights.
Very good, Leslie Lois. Thank you, Leslie. Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Have a great weekend.